Welcome to episode 53 of The Putting Couch. I'm Jim Grundberg, along with Ted Galina. And today we are really excited to have an international guest, Scott Lennox, who is a director of instruction and fitting, and really pretty much the manager of the Wagga City Golf Club in Kurila, down under in Australia. So Scott, great to have you on. It's about, I think you're 16 hours ahead of us. So it's Tuesday here and it's Wednesday there. How are you?
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And Scott, we know that you were so passionate about your fitting business and your instructions, and you work with players of, you know, from beginners up to the high level. And I know you were sort of a participant in growing Seymour over the years from your own, you know, perspective. And then recently we loved your entrepreneurial spirit and we actually had you start representing us down there. And so for those listening around the world, Scott is the Seymour representative in Australia. But today we really just want to talk about your passion for teaching and for fitting and, you know, putting instruction and the opportunities there and sort of, you know, what's different down there. I mean, I guess we'll learn by hearing your story.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Jim. So I guess the biggest passion that I have is, I guess, putting, and that's been a curse for me for many years, and you know, probably the best thing about finding a Seymour putter for myself is I just love finding a better putter for my players. You know, my story is that I used to use a putter that was very, very short for myself. I used to have my arms probably too extended. And then my shoulders and arms wouldn't work together, and my speed control was awful, and direction was everywhere. And then you know, having I guess those difficulties, I sort of set about finding the right way to putt. It was sort of a downfall that I had, and I just needed to make it right so I could enjoy my golf. And the biggest thing that changed everything for me was actually the posture ball. It actually made me understand that I could be taller. I could use my arms and shoulders together, but with the putter being so short, I just couldn't get everything working together. I was out of plane all the time. The putter was too light, so I had no distance control. As I said, my arms were extended. So it was quite difficult.
Well, that's a great story. And Scott, I know that's representative of players at every level. I mean, of course, people just getting into the game, oftentimes it may take them a little while to become fully frustrated with putting. But the better you play and the more you've been playing, it seems like the more putting will at some point become that bugaboo. And I think your search is indicative of a lot of golfer searches around the world. Mm-hmm. And there's it seems like not such a complicated thing versus all the complexities of a full golf swing, but there's so many variables involved in getting the right read and the right speed. And as you said, being comfortable. And for those listeners out there that are not familiar with the posture ball, it's basically, it could be a heavy water bottle, but we had a little 2-pound ball that we sent out to instructors and fitters that request them. So by all means, please request one from us if you're an instructor or a fitter, but you basically, we'll just hold it in two hands and you'll cradle it and you'll bend over and you'll find that point at which if you bend over too far, you can actually feel it in your back. You can feel that, oh, wow, that's not a comfortable posture. And so as Scott's talking about, he's a big man and he found himself bending over too much. And anything that doesn't feel comfortable is going to be harder to repeat. Is that accurate, Scott?
Most definitely, yes.
So there's a lot of things involved, but getting that right posture where you feel comfortable for you said was the first eye opener. And what did that then allow you to do, Scott? Once you realized that you could stand taller,
it just allowed me to swing freer and more natural. You know, I actually had now I've got a putter that I've got a line that sends the ball every time consistently. I've got two white lines that set up my waft every time, and I've got a red dot that I can't see. So it's a win-win nowadays.
And you said as an instructor, you found that to be something that's been beneficial as you've worked with players at like what levels? Tell us about, you know, what do your students, you know, what do they come to you with? What kind of challenges, what kind of issues do they have?
Actually, these days I see a lot of players that are quite tall, you know, over the 6 foot mark, that have struggled all their lives. So, you know, when someone comes to see me about that, I have a big smile on my face because I've got an answer for them finally.
And you know, it's funny, Scott, listening to you is what a lot of instructors talk about that we talk to on a daily basis. It's the comfort that you have in learning the reasons why you need to be a little bit taller, why you can open up your posture a little bit and swing freely. Those firsthand experiences makes it a whole lot easier for you to give that information over to your students, because you're literally telling them what you're feeling and what you're experiencing. And that's what we find where a lot of our instructors get a lot of success with the putter and then teaching at the same time, because as you can see, firsthand experience, it goes in hand, everything you're talking about relates back to the putter, which then can be related to the student that you're talking about. So it's nice to hear that the confidence and the comfort you have when you talk about putting, you're giving them, as we like to say, the why behind everything. Well, why do I need to do this? And here's the reason why. And it makes that experience that you have with your student, probably it goes a whole lot more. And probably because of that, you end up getting a lot more students coming back just because that student listened to you and has been doing well with their putting, and their friends want to know where they learned how to do that.
Most definitely.
It's interesting, you know, Scott. Oh, real quick, Scott, it is interesting that I know you talked about swinging freely and the posture and standing tall. And so it is funny that when we talk about fitting a putter at Seymour, a lot of times we talk about meeting the golfer sort of halfway. Like certainly they may already have a posture that they're using and working with, but they're frustrated and they don't love their putting. And so while we certainly try to fit them something that feels good to their eye and feels comfortable to them, as you mentioned, you yourself in your search, you find yourself changing your posture and your setup a bit. And so many golfers seem afraid to do that, but tell us about, you know, how you're able to do that. And then once you have a student that may adjust their posture and their setup and their stance, what types of practice and what types of drills do you encourage for them?
Sure. So I actually had like an interesting experience with fitting in particular. I had a lot of shafts that had no grips on them, so they were, you know, out to 40 inches. And it was quite interesting because I give them the putter and they go straight to a comfortable position straight away. I give them another putter where the grip was on it and it could be 6 or 7 inches shorter. They go straight to the grip. And then quite simply, it was just a matter of asking them which one feels more comfortable. Now, it's not always about comfort, but it does go a long way, you know. So we needed to sort of then just make it slightly longer so we could still get those arms in the actual right spots.
That's fascinating. That is a great story. And as you said, when you do stand a little bit taller, you tend to get out of the way and allow the putter to swing. And we're building dynamics into the putter that, you know, will help if the golfer can just sort of not try to force things. And, you know, we have an instructor, Pat O'Brien, who's been with us forever and sort of, you know, one of our global, you know, ambassadors. And he talks about how so many golfers, I mean, they get so bent over and it's almost like they're kickstanding. They're almost, you know, there's so much leaning on the putter. It's almost like a crutch versus getting up to a comfortable posture where they can just let the putter do the work. So you get somebody fit, and then, you know, for a lot of golfers, they may not really even know the best practices in terms of, you know, what should the routine be in terms of, you know, what should they practice out there? We talk a lot of the time that if somebody were to go to a PGA Tour event around here, you'd see the pros spending about a third of the time on the range and about a third of their time with their sand wedge and about a third of their time with their putter. And most golfers certainly don't practice that way. How do you get your golfers to sort of buy into that?
Really, it's just about, for me, it's just about giving them different drills, uphill, downhill, left to right, right to left. I use a lot, the actual Seymour putter again, that comes into its own because of the, like, particularly on an uphill lie, when we see the two white lines, I find a lot of players will actually lean their shaft slightly to the left, de-lofting the putter. That's a great reference for them to say, hey, I need to bring my hands back, square it up so that I can get that ball to roll quicker, opposed to jumping and skipping up the hill, which then it becomes a, you know, short. So, yeah, I just like to set up drills around the putting green and then just make them aware of more reading the green, more than anything. I think the system itself is, you know, the aiming, not seeing the red dot, that speaks for itself. But it's just getting the player to actually trust the read that they've read and just go with that.
Yeah, you bring a good point. It's more like that's the hardest thing I say people all the time, you know, but the first use of your Seymour putter can be increased by 50% of making more putts, just knowing where your aim is. So you're literally just showing them where they need to aim. Now, granted that at the first time they use it, they might hide the red dot, see the two white lines, and they're so used to aiming, or might know they're aiming left, it's going to square them up to the left. So then use the triangulator or the mirror or the laser or some type of alignment aid to square them back up where it's straight down the line. Then they're probably going to say, well, Scott, this feels a whole lot different. But you can say, well, yeah, look, you don't see the red dot, you see the white lines. And here's the indicator showing that you're square to the target line. So now just trust your putt, you know. So that's the thing, is if they can get used to that alignment, that feeling in their posture and their setup, they're going to trust their aim. They're going to make, you know, 50% more putts that I see when we teach them.
Exactly.
Hey, Scott, tell us just for the fun of it. I mean, we're, you know, here in America, you know, we see a lot of really, really great players coming out of Australia and great personalities. Tell us about golf in Australia and, you know, what's it like? I mean, in terms of the culture, you know, what percent of the population is familiar with golf and loves golf, and what's your story?
Yeah, so golf has had a massive boom through COVID. With COVID, we were lucky enough in New South Wales to be able to play golf. So everyone either dusted off their clubs from their garage or went and bought some clubs. So it's been massive. The access to golf courses, it's very easy. Matter of a phone call or book a golf course just online. So it's very, very simple. We still have a lot of semi-private golf courses. Through COVID, it was almost closed where people went and joined golf clubs, and that's still the case now, where they've joined a club and now they're playing. From my perspective, it was quite interesting also to see like gyms are closed in Australia. So with the gyms being closed, we're now seeing all these fit young guys playing golf, hitting it miles, and the great thing is they're frustrated with their putting.
Yeah, you mentioned people are getting bigger and stronger and faster and more athletic, and those people are playing golf, and eventually they're going to come around to, you know, understanding and actually we want them to love the subtleties of putting, right? I mean, so many golfers, if you don't practice it, if you don't really dive into it, sometimes it's easy to miss the fun and the joy that can come from really the putting part of the game. I mean, many golfers understand that, but it is for some golfers, you know, I know it's sort of the last frontier here, you know, the whole idea of getting fit for a putter or whatever is just something that really 5-10 years ago people didn't even think about, right? It was you were going to the driving range and then you were going to the first tee, and you know, you might hit one or two putts on the first green, but it seems like now, as golfers have become more and more serious about the game, and I think we're starting to provide as an industry More ideas, more options, more variations, more cool things when it comes to putting and putter training and all that stuff that it's kind of now realizing its rightful place. I mean, we used to say, gosh, I mean, it accounts for 40% of the shots, but you know, it was always the last thing that anybody talked about was putting.
Yeah, most definitely. You know, it's quite interesting also to walk into an off-course store and go to their putter bar, and you'll see 50, 100, maybe more putters, all the same length. So the industry's, they've got it wrong.
They do have it wrong there, yeah. Trying to keep it too easy. You're exactly right. Yeah. Yeah, we love that. Are you able to get out yourself and compete at any level? I mean, within sort of a PGA section, do they have do they have opportunities for you guys to all kind of play against each other as well?
They do. So I turned 50 in COVID, and I guess my goal was to go and play the Australian Senior Tour.
Okay.
But then with running businesses. That's been put to the side. But what I have done, I'm playing golf twice a week. I'm loving it. And probably in the next, probably after July, I'm going to go and play some tournaments.
Fantastic. Your season there is pretty much a year-round season, or is there a certain time of the year where golfers, you know, tend to put in more time?
All year round.
Year round.
Year round, yes.
One thing that's taken off here quite a bit is the indoor golf simulators. So around the country and or even Top Golf and so forth. Do you guys have, do you know what Top Golf is? Like the driving yes. range and three-tier driving range and so forth. And the indoor golf simulators are real big here. Are those big there for you guys or just everyone still going outside and playing golf?
No, they're popping up everywhere.
Are they? That's interesting.
There'd be we'd have maybe 10 to 20 big centers that are, you know, if they're using TrackMan, they might have up to 10 TrackMan in the facilities. So it's growing. People love to see their numbers.
Yeah.
That's great. What are some of the things that you would want you would want people in your area to know about, you know, some of the things you believe about, you know, how some of the myths, you know, some of the myths that are out there, you know, some of the things that people seem like they get caught up on that maybe they, if they were willing to have an open mind, you'd show them, you know, you'd show them something different.
Yeah, I think always that adage of straight back and straight through, that's always a good one. I think that's an international one, that one.
Yeah.
You know, they don't quite understand that shaft tracks and the putter head arcs. And once you put them on a rail and they get to see the putter actually working the way it should, their eyes start to lighten up. And there's an answer. You've got an answer for them straight away.
Yeah, yeah.
For me, personally, I think also that players are seeing the putter being swung more in a two-dimensional plane. They don't actually understand that it's three-dimensional, and that's where the pendulum comes in. That's a big one, you know, where they're trying to either get a mat, they're trying to swing on the mat, or they're trying to swing it straight back and straight through, and they forget that the putter needs to swing up and on plane.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. I know one of the simple ways that I always try to show people that is I just take them back to the small era that we had where we actually had belly putters, you know, and just stick the shaft right into your belly. And then just, you know, the head is always exactly the same distance away from your belly. And you can see how it is, in fact, on all three planes when that happens. It has to come up and in and then right back down to square. And then it comes up and in again. And but it's interesting how just with, you know, there's a few terms, as you said, you know, the straight back and straight through, there's just some terms that are treated as if they're, you know, just absolute fundamental fact. And it's so confusing because, as you said, once you show them, they realize finally how much effort and how much manipulation would actually have to go into a putter to keep it straight back and straight through all the way through. It's you have to become so disconnected from the putter and then somehow bring it back. And it's so much more difficult than just letting the putter swing on the pendulum. So we definitely appreciate that. Are you having fun? You having fun down there? I mean, trying to market the brand and reach out.
Yeah, look, for me, it's been a different exercise. You're always trying to with this brand, it needs to be put in the right places. You know, I'm not gonna go and waste my time and have it sit in the corner where someone's not gonna want to use it.
Yeah,
very important that they do have that passion for improving players. And as Ted related to before, even the simulators, they're still wanting to teach golf swings and sell drivers, and they're actually trying to improve the golfer. That's debatable.
Yeah, interesting.
Well, I think that's one thing. Getting back to the straight back and straight through, I think that's always been the easy out for everybody. I mean the instructors in the world. If you don't know a whole lot about putting, they're going to find the quickest and the easy way to get someone sort of off their back about putting. And so they all, you're either straight back or straight through or arc to arc and so on. And they don't want to take the time to learn more about it. Where, they've taken the time to learn everything about the golf swing, the full swing. But when it comes to putting, they don't want to look like they don't know it, but they're just going to give just as much information as they can, or what they were told and really don't know anything about it. Whereas, like Scott says, if you find that, three or four or five individuals, instructors who get it and understand it, they're going to take it and run with it. And everyone's going to come see them because they're putting well, because they went to go see one of Scott's guys. And because of that, everyone's going to benefit, the player, the instructor, Scott, and Seymour. So, and all it is just taking a little bit of information and learning what that red dot does, and you're off to the races.
Well, hey, here on the putting couch, of course, we love to talk about all things putting. And I think we've covered some really important points that Scott talked about, earlier today. He talked about his own journey. He talked about being open to something new in terms of really as basic as his setup and his posture. And there's a lot of different ways that golfers can improve their putting. And obviously, it's going to start with practicing. But when you actually have a purpose to practice with, we do talk about the fact that Seymour, I don't love it when people talk about Seymour as just a training aid, but really in some ways it is a great training aid, and it's a training aid that, that you can take to the golf course. So that's really the only one. And anything that allows you, I think, to then find an expert like Scott Lennox and wherever you are in the world and work with them a little bit on your putting, you will be rewarded, because why would the putting stroke be any different than any of your other strokes? You need a trained eye and a professional to look at you and help you sometimes understand that you're not really doing what you think you're doing, and there's an easier way. So that's really what we're all about here at the Putting Couch, is identifying the different ways that golfers can go out and put a new focus on putting, enjoy the game more. I mean, a lot of instructors do believe that the fastest way to better scores sometimes is to improve your putting. And while many golfers don't feel putting is an issue, because there's rarely a part of putting where you actually feel as exasperated as you are when you can't get the ball off the ground from the tee, or you can't get the ball out of a sand trap, right? But nonetheless, three putts and four putts, they add up if you're not paying attention. And we do think that here on the Putting Couch, we're trying to give all things putting as much a focus as we can. So it's been great having you, Scott. And are there any other kind of thoughts you have for, just kind of wrap things up?
No, I just, as you said there, Jim, just make sure you go and see someone who can help you with your putting. If it's not the answer you want, go and find another one.
I love it. Well, hey, we appreciate it, Scott. Hopefully we can do this again sometime. Look forward to staying in touch down under in Australia. We have had as our guest on the Putting Couch today, Scott Lennox, who is he's down under at the Director of Instruction Fitting and Golf Course Management at the Waiga City Golf Club in Kareela. Has homes in both Waiga and Sydney, and he's a busy man in Australia. But go track him down somewhere, and he's going to help your game. So thanks so much. This has been our 53rd issue of the Putting Couch, and until next time, so long.
We appreciate you joining us. If you haven't subscribed to the show, make sure you do wherever you're listening. Be sure to leave a rating and review, because that's how we get the Putting Couch podcast content in front of more people. Also, take a screenshot and share it on social media and tag us at Seymour Putters or hashtag Team Seymour.